ever eaten moldy chocolate?
The tardigrade?
I'm Jasmine.
I swear on Satan, I'll do that.
That's my headcanon.
Okay. Into it. All of it.
I'm Mel's.
I love it.
Dumb.
Wait a minute.
And if you're watching TV,
I love it.
Make sure it's damn fine TV.
This is amazing.
That was awesome. Oh my God. Okay.
Giving thanks to the ancient gods of sky and dirt, I'm Jay.
And riding a gross, fucked up bike, I'm Mel's.
Welcome to Damn Fine TV's Yellow Jackets Rewatch.
This week we're covering season 1, episode 10. Now let's slow-mo strut. Buzz.
Buzz, buzz, babes. I am glad you said it because I did put in parentheses, feel free to not say this because it's kind of dumb, but it sounded very cute. You really
great. Right. Awesome. Oh my God. We are here.
We are here. I know. So right before we started recording, you were like, I didn't forget how much I loved this episode, but I had chills like the whole time. I'm glad that you enjoyed it on a rewatch because I didn't enjoy it as much on a rewatch, and I don't know what's going on, but I feel not as connected to this finale as I did on the first watch. I know. And I feel like for me, episode 9 was so much better for me than episode 10.
Okay. I mean, truthfully, I can see that. There were just certain parts of this finale that I really, really, really enjoyed.
Sure.
But I'm not going to disagree that penultimate episode is my all-time favorite of season 1. Like, we just talked about it last week with our guest Abby. It's going to be very hard to top that. So I understand what you're saying. I mean, yeah, I said I had goosebumps the whole time. I did. And I knew it was coming. It was still kind of shocking to me, some things. But I agree that I feel like 9 is a stronger episode than 10. So I don't think that's controversial.
I feel like it just got me way more hyped up for season 2 than this did.
Yeah.
And it's not like it was a bad episode of TV. Like, it's still a great episode of TV. And there's a couple of parts that are, like, really, really tops or something.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I'm kind of having a hard time on this second watch through. Like, I find myself angry at most of the characters. And, like, that makes it difficult for me to kind of get on board with what's happening. Mm-hmm. As you can see by my screen name, I am fully back as a Jackie stan. I mean, you heard me go back and forth all season long about, like, I don't know why I liked her as much on the first watch. I don't know, like, how I didn't see all this, like, self-involved behavior. And I think I did on first watch. It's just by the end of the season, you're like, wait, what the fuck? Like, this girl did not deserve this.
Yeah. I think that there's a lot we could talk about with Jackie when we get to, part. Because I will tell you, like, yeah. I full on went through like 3 or 4 Subway napkins. And I didn't do that the first time around. This time, and I felt bad myself. Like, I was mad at myself for being like, I think that's how you could tell it's a great character that's been written, because you do go through your ebbs and flows on like how you feel about the character. Sure. But I mean, like, by the end of this, I was like full on like, oh my God, why did I ever say I hated you? I mean, yeah, I hated things that you did, but like, you didn't deserve this. Yeah. So. No,
exactly. Ooh. Yeah. I can't wait to talk more about Jackie.
Yeah.
But yeah, again, like, it's not like it's a bad episode. I think this rewatch has just made me, you know, like with Jackie, reconsider how I felt about a lot of characters and a lot of scenes. And I think, I don't know, maybe that's just the nature of a rewatch of Yellow Jackets, is that once you, and maybe of any shows, that once you've seen it the first time, on second watch, you're picking up different things. You're I mean, you're kind of a different person when you're rewatching, so you have a different viewpoint of stuff. But so maybe I'm just like recalibrating or something. I don't know, but mm-hmm. I don't hate it. I was just like, huh, okay, all right. Yeah.
I get it. Yeah. I get it. Well, let's do, I feel like we kind of just did our overall thoughts. So we'll go ahead and do a summary and then we can get into.
True. Yes. So okay. Sorry.
No.
So sorry to skip the summary.
There was no way to avoid that because I couldn't wait to just say our overall thoughts on it. So fair. Please don't apologize. Okay. So episode 10 is, and excuse me, I'm going to try my best at pronouncing this. Okay.
You got this, girl.
Sic transit Gloria Mundi. I don't know.
I think.
But anyway, I was like, who's Gloria?
Who's Paul?
Who? Okay. In 96, the team grapples with the after effects of Doom's coming and a tragic death. In present day, the crew take care of Adam, take over a pay dirt reunion, and take cover as their past brings, as their past begins to catch up with them.
Whew, does it ever.
Wow. Does it ever.
Pay dirt reunion.
Okay. I mean, I know we got the reunion here, but just right off the bat.
We can talk about the reunion right away. Well, that's fine.
All I was going to say was, I just don't want to ever see Allie again.
I don't understand.
Allie off my TV.
Correct. I don't understand this character. I will say I appreciate your screen name because her telling Doug to shut the fuck up was the only thing she did where I was like, okay, that was worth it.
Yes.
Or no, like it wasn't even worth it. It was just like, I would have liked you to say that line, but nothing else.
Right. Right.
Exactly. Like it was not a redeeming act. Nothing could make Allie better. And I just don't understand the choice. And this is one of the reasons that I feel the finale kind of lacked for me because why is this happening? Why is Allie now in the same class as all the other girls when she was very clearly a freshman in the first episode? Why does she have this thick accent, which was nowhere to be found in the first episode? Mm-hmm. And I know that there are times when you shoot a pilot and it goes out into the
pilot sphere.
I was about to talk like I knew all the shit about pilot season. It goes out into the world and people watch it and they love it. And then they say, we pick you to go on to Hollywood. Okay. And so I know shit can change between the shooting of the pilot, the shooting of the second episode. But does a character change that much, like without bringing some attention? Like, how, especially with this kind of show where they know that we're going to be digging into clues and looking for, ways to solve this mystery. We're not going to miss that Allie all of a sudden has a new accent and is 3 years older.
Yeah. Yeah.
Why was this a choice?
I mean, this was a huge gripe for me the first time.
Yeah.
I mean, and it still is. And I can't wrap my brain around why. Like, to be honest with you, I really didn't even care about Allie after she got her leg like smashed up on the soccer field. I was like, whatever, okay, like we're shaping our characters. That's great to know about Tysa. Yes. And everybody else on the team. It's not like I desperately needed to see Allie in the setting with these girls again, especially when the story just is not going to add up for her to be class cheer or anything like that. Like, it just, it really bothers me so bad. And like, even me out of it. Yeah. I was like, did she bump up 3 grades? I'm just like, I don't understand. Like,
I can almost guarantee you that Allie is not smart enough to get bumped up 3 grades.
No. I hate to say that, but it just, like, do we need a protagonist to the girls? I don't know. And like, even if they felt like they needed something like that, I don't need it with Allie. Like, that's the last character that I need that with, you know?
Well, and I guess what bothers me even more is that, like, you're right. Like, they could have, like, if they wanted this dynamic, fine. Because I actually think a lot of this is really funny and totally a thing that would happen of a person that would think, oh, I have a trauma bond with them because I was supposed to be on the plane. Like, I don't find any of that unrealistic. I just don't really understand why we had to do it with Allie.
Yeah.
Or like, I don't know. I guess you can't do reshoots at that point, but like make it clear in a re-edit that she's not a freshman. I think there was options, and it just like it kind of makes the whole character just feel annoying and out of place and not in a good way that I think she could have.
Right. I'm with you.
I mean, that was just annoying. I couldn't really get on board with a lot of stuff. Like, it was pretty frustrating. The slow-mo, you know, strut into the room, I think, is pretty epic. I really like how it's like very much in contrast with how these girls are actually – these women are actually feeling in this moment, apart from Misty, who's clearly loving this attention.
Could not wait to get over there.
She was like
– fuck you just, in this picture.
Yeah. She like pushed it away. Like she was so hyped for this. But yeah, I think because usually we see like a slow-mo strut like that with people that are like, you ready to do this? Like we're going to prove something. You know what I mean? It's like very like – pink ladies walking into school senior year, you know, but they're like, I don't want any of this attention. I hate this. Like, yeah.
Yeah. Well, okay. So are we, I guess I want to just ask, let's go ahead and just talk about reunion. Yeah.
Okay. Oh yeah.
So one thing, and I knew this was coming, but it's just very odd. And it really makes me wonder what is going on here. So I guess what I'm trying to say is when Nat's outside and she's looking in the trophy case, there's obviously the coach and there's Javi and there's a picture of Travis. I don't see a picture of Jackie up there. I understand if like, yeah, Natalie would be looking at them. Okay. Yeah. But what I don't understand is if Travis made it out of the woods and just recently passed on, why is there a picture of him with his dad who we know died in the plane accident? We don't know what happened to Javi. I'm assuming he doesn't make it out. But now we have Travis's picture in there too. Like, it just makes me...
Well, and why...
any kind of error. I just... What were the choices here? Because they know reunion time's coming, but who's going to get an 8x10 of Travis's senior portrait to put in the case for the reunion? So yeah, Travis didn't come, quote unquote, didn't come back from the woods, right? Like he faked his death out there. Or I just don't get it. I don't know.
Interesting. Yeah, because why use a photo of him from that age either?
Exactly.
That is interesting. Yeah. And to have it there so quickly. It's interesting.
Yeah.
So. Yeah. But then again, I mean, there's the whole Jackie's journals stuff that has info from after she would have technically died. So I don't know. Like, I'm not going to fucking hate on these showrunners for making errors here and there if that's what this is. Like, I mean, it's not easy to put together a show. You just, you know what? All I'm going to say is like, at least it's not a Starbucks cup in a fucking medieval setting.
That's true.
I mean, like that's way worse. That's way worse.
It is. Yeah. And I guess I'll save the rest of my Travis stuff, but I mean, just like that moment that I was like, I understand why, you know, Nat would need a moment to be looking at this, but it didn't make sense to me. The reunion overall, I'm getting ready to go to my reunion this year myself. So I love to hype myself up because I'm sitting here thinking I might reach out to the person who's put together the reunion and tell them I want a slow-mo entrance into the gym as I come in strictly because I want to be Yellow Jackets.
So you've got a lot of work to do on learning the slow, like you have to do the slow-mo yourself. Yeah. Like there's not going to be any technology to help you with this. Right.
Exactly.
Okay.
So, you've know, got I'm just going to, yeah, I need them to announce or like, you know, like give me a countdown so I can slow-mo in. I will tell you though, there's this type of storyline, something I love about reunions and like movies and television. I don't know what it is, but I've always loved when there's like a reunion scene in something because it just, I don't know. I don't know if it's nostalgic for me. I don't really know what it is. I've always loved it, even while like before I ever graduated. It was just always something I was into. So I really loved the reunion. I don't know. I just felt like I was there. I felt like I was Shauna threatening Randy. I felt like I was, you know, Jeff being like, oh God, I got to do this homecoming king or class king or however they, you know, word it there.
It's what Jackie would have wanted.
Yeah, right. And like you die of embarrassment if there is a slideshow up there with and of all the things you've been through. I mean, whatever, you know, like, so I enjoyed it. But yeah, you know that, no, but none of our main girls, except for Misty, wanted to really be there. And I loved Misty throughout the reunion because when Allie was up there talking about all that shit, she was like, Like, you know, just the way she was like, oh, this is true. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. She was enjoying it so, so much. Yeah. She was like, finally, someone is speaking the truth about me and my experience and my amazingness. Like, this is great.
Yeah, exactly.
Although, you know, I do think that there is a side of Misty that is always smiling, but like really kind of analyzing and sussing out a situation, you know, like whereas she was often smiling at Jessica, but felt nothing towards this woman, as we, you know after this episode. But anyway, so I do think she was enjoying it, but there maybe is a part of her that's like, Allie, you dumb bitch, you know?
Yeah. Oh, you know what was going through her mind for sure. But she just loved the attention.
Absolutely. She loved the attention. Yeah. There's no denying that. Well, I guess just finally, we should say something about Shauna and Jeff at home having this cute moment on the couch. For some reason, I remember that being so much more than what it actually was. Like I remembered them like sitting on the couch for a while, like maybe even with music playing over it or something, and them just like laughing away and like having such a cute moment. But it's really just one laugh, and then the news starts reporting about Adam and shit gets real. So it's still cute, and it's like it's a nice note for them to end on, even with the Adam stuff, like the whole family sitting down together at a place that's not the dinner table. And
yeah,
it's cute.
I loved it because you know how we've talked through the season where there's that what I've always felt was like a weirdness between Shauna and Jeff, right? But like after they come clean about everything and they go and they have this moment at the reunion, I really enjoyed them just sitting there. And I busted out laughing. I thought it was hilarious that he's like, well, the cat better not misbehave or it's going to end up in the crock pot. I mean, I love this because I'm cute. And then, you know, for Kelly to come in and everything, but I mean, that's not going to last long, obviously, because we did see the news about Adam. They did call him a local artist. So I was like, okay, all right. So
I was like, how many days do you think it's been?
I thought it had only been one.
Right? I mean, but I guess that's just what I assumed because, well, I guess there was no reason to assume that. It's just that we didn't get any sense of like a while passing. So I don't know. I guess I was just like, oh, that's really quick.
Well, in my mind, I broke it down like this because I too was struggling with the timeline of this. Okay. I thought of it like this.
I think I wrote down, I need a timeline.
Right. Well, the news says he hasn't been seen since Monday.
Okay.
Okay. But what's odd is that I feel like it had to have just been the day before that. This happened. Actually, you know what? I feel like it was all on the same day. Let's just be real. Because she tells them Nat goes to get Misty. They cut him up. And then at the reunion, Jeff's asking Shauna if the Adam situation was taken care of. Like, it just feels like it's the same day.
Okay, so Shauna goes over there with coffee.
Yep.
Right? So it's, I mean, I'm going to assume it's morning.
Right.
When she goes over to his apartment with coffee. They get cute and talk about going to the cabin. She goes back home, gets ready to pack, but finds the glitter, right?
Right. Right. And then, and
so that's the same day. Then her, and then she goes to Adam's apartment. Well, then she calls everybody. They go to Adam's apartment. Nat goes to get Misty, comes back with Misty. I mean, that was a packed day. They did a lot in one day and went to a reunion. Like, yeah. I don't blame you on the tequila shots. Keep them coming.
Right. And Missy also had to drop by the old folks' home to grab her supplies and had to hit and had to get Adam into the crematorium.
Like, oh, my God. That's right.
And she had to pay her respects to Gloria's parents.
And first of all, she was at the reunion first.
Okay. See, and that's why I'm like, what kind of fuckery is this?
Okay, so what days do reunions usually happen on? A Saturday?
Weekends, I would think, sure. Yeah.
I would assume a Saturday since most people going to reunions are working. They don't really want to go out on a Friday night. They don't want to do something on a Sunday night because they work the next day. These are my assumptions. Yep. So I think that's long Saturday. I don't know.
I mean,
long Saturday.
A long day. Yeah. Yeah. I'm not even going to get into me also trying to analyze then, like, when there would be an election day and when someone would win the results, because that also doesn't really line up. But whatever, we'll leave that there.
And when was that? Like, the next day?
The next
that
day.
The day after the reunion. That
doesn't happen on a Sunday. I can tell.
It was a busy few days. This anyway, is reminding me of how, like, Laura Palmer had so much time on her hands. Like, she was literally doing everything under the sun. Yeah. But made it look so easy, so effortless. Yeah. So, I mean, it's Laura Palmer time. It's LPT.
LPT. I'm into that.
It's on LPT. Yeah. So. Yep. All right. Well, speaking of the body disposal happening that day, it's so deeply unsettling and yet strangely comforting that Misty is so well prepared, knowledgeable, and ready to just, like, go get them with this project. Because, I mean, I think it's obviously why it's deeply unsettling for somebody to know all of that information and to be ready at the drop of a hat to dispose of a body in such a thorough fashion. But also, I was just like, oh, I feel like this makes me maybe falsely complacent, but I feel like it's going to be okay. Like, I feel like these girls are in good hands and okay, that's a thing we don't have to worry about in season two, which I know is probably wrong, but but Misty did a good job of making me feel like, yeah, okay, great.
Yeah, for sure. Like, I really caught myself thinking, wow, gosh, I wish I had a Misty Quigley in my life. I mean, not that I'm out here, you know, like, having to get rid of bodies, but it's just like, she knows what to do. And it's very oddly comforting. Like, they all were like, oh, when she showed up, but I was like, y'all should be thanking your lucky fucking stars that Misty Quigley is here. Mm-hmm. Okay. I don't know after this episode though, I've got weird feelings about Misty. I don't know. I have a lot of weird feelings about all the characters, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
But I'm like, is Misty a double agent? I don't know. Like, I got some weird vibes. I feel stupid saying I got weird vibes from Misty Quigley because you have them all season long from her. But just the way she knows all this stuff, but torsos are important, silly, or whatever, but that's how they identify, like, a body, by tattoos and things like that. You would think a citizen detective would know that if there's any identifying
marks. And he does have tattoos, doesn't he?
He has a whole mountain range tattooed on his back.
Right.
Which is why I'm also still salty, because I'm like, if this fucker is not like somebody Hobby. Other than, well, or somebody
or like somebody involved. Yeah. Yeah. Right.
But I'm just like, did none of y'all stop to think that the torso is going to be very important in this situation because of these unique tattoos and things that they have?
I mean, Shauna would have been the only one to know about the tattoos, right? And so I feel like maybe if she's just not thinking about it in the moment, then yeah.
Well, because that's
true. I wonder if Misty would have been like, well, you got to cut off that part of his skin then.
Well, because it was Nat and Shauna that were cutting him up in the bathtub. And I guess didn't take his clothes off. They just went ahead and did it all together. But
oh my God, what if he writes his name on his tags?
Like a little boy. Adam Smith.
It has Adam Smith, 124 Firefly Lane or some shit. Like all the details. Here's my social security number.
I was about to say, if lost, please return to Adam Smith. You know, like, oh, well, this is a lost torso. So.
All the info, yeah. Oh, throw it with the rest of the lost torsos.
This isn't just any torso. This is an important torso. I don't know. Like, I just feel like there's got to be a double meaning to Misty saying, oh, torsos aren't that important. Yeah, like you do want to get rid of the head and the hands for identifying reasons, obviously, sure. Like fingerprints and teeth and whatnot. Yeah. But there's got to be something that comes back to bite him in the ass about this, especially now that he's missing and it's being reported that he's missing. And it's not for sure.
I don't think they expected to see that missing persons report. I mean, especially on the news. I don't know. Like that feels like he is more prominent
than we think.
That
was my thought too.
So I don't know. Misty's hilarious throughout the whole thing though, like when she's like, you guys, who died? Or when she says, I just had the weirdest deja vu. Like she's just having a blast.
I love it when she's like, I have a shovel you can borrow, I do need that back. I mean, like,
I felt she's bad laughing on the wash. She's like, listen, that's my shovel, it's actually quite expensive.
I am gonna need that back. Okay. All right.
What else? Oh, the sound design when Shauna is cutting up Adam's body was so fucking gross. I bet it was even more, gross that when you're listening with headphones. Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Ugh. I mean, very good, but it was just crunchy. Really gross. Yeah, but like also like. Squishy in a way. Very like much. I assume just like the blood and the tendons and everything, but I would love to know what they actually used to make that sound, because I'm sure it's a mixture of super interesting things. But
yeah, let's get a behind the scenes like we have of David Lynch shaving styrofoam.
Yes, exactly. And then I mean, at first I was like, oh wow, this is actually really nice of Shauna. Or sorry, of Nat to say, I'll come and help you, Shauna. Of course, she just went in there to try to get more information. But then I think it still ended up being good in a way, because even though we know there's something nefarious about Travis's death, like I think what Shauna said was kind of a kindness towards Nat to try and help her to just get on a better track. Unfortunately, we're going to see that that's not what it did, but
yeah,
I think that was Shauna's intention.
Yeah. I mean, I do think that Shauna has good intentions for sure. And I mean, the way that she explains it to Natalie, and she really doesn't even know the depths of, I'm assuming at this point, the depths of like Natalie and Travis's like relationship, because I feel like, Thaisa might have been like paying for her rehab or whatnot, but I just don't see Natalie like, you know, a yearly catch up with these girls after all this time. Right. So obviously she probably like knows about Natalie and Travis, but doesn't like understand or know about that deep, deep connection that they had after the
woods. I doubt it. Yeah.
So it was very heartfelt, and Natalie just it, especially when we see Natalie at the end of the episode, it did kind of hurt me that she, I don't want to say that she was giving it up that easy, but that it was sinking into her that the possibility that he actually did complete suicide was maybe more the issue or what happened than anything else. So it was sad.
It was really sad. And I know that I've also had my kind of ups and downs and ebbs and flows with adult Natalie, but I must say in this episode, I felt very sympathetic towards her, especially looking back at 96 Natalie and kind of coming to a conclusion like, no wonder you're so fucking jaded and closed off. You are so kind to people and they keep shitting on you. Mm-hmm. So like, yeah. Go off. I don't know. Glad for she sure. wasn't able to pull the trigger. I don't know if her fate is going to be worse than that somehow, but I'm glad we'll see her in season two.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah.
Well, I mean, I guess we're already kind of talking about Nat and Travis, so we could keep going with them.
So, Travis.
This boy can get bent for the most part.
Well, I feel so differently, but I'm going to be honest. I don't know if I can express the ways that I feel differently about Travis. I feel bad for 96 Travis, though, in some way, because, I mean, he tells Natalie, like, I didn't want to do it. And that kind of, like, really hurt me a bit because I was like, I know that – I feel like it was consensual because he did go through the act of sex with Jackie.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. Like, it felt – It, I felt really bad for him, you know?
I know what you mean. And, you know, we did talk about this in the last episode where Jackie gave him the option. He decided to kiss her and go for it. Now, that doesn't mean that, you know, halfway through he wasn't feeling it anymore and just felt like he had to keep going.
Right.
I mean, we don't have any evidence of that. All we can go off of was the choice that he made to go through with it. What happens after that is certainly quite fucked up. And we can deal with the other girls later.
Yeah.
But I think and I'm happy that he finally just said, I love you, and was just vulnerable with her and honest, like fucking finally. I think I'm just mostly fed up with the teenager of it all.
Yeah.
And like, what do I expect? Like, it's a show that's half about teenagers. Like, I mean, I can't really complain, but I'm just like, just come on with the fragile ego already. I mean, like, it's just so hard to watch over and over again. So he ended up at a great point, was very grateful for that. But the whole, like, still trying to push her away, like, I don't want your help with finding, like, okay, go away then.
Yeah. Like, fuck off. Well, who else are you going to get the help from? I mean, like, yeah, the teenage angsty part of Travis is too angsty at this point for me as well. And also, I can't help but feel differently. I know that we've got other characters that we haven't seen in season one, like adult Lottie, adult Van, if these characters, you know, are existing and coming back, like whatever it may be.
Yeah.
But I think there's also this weird feeling I have watching teenage Travis, knowing that hopefully we'll get more flashbacks of adult Travis, like as the seasons go on, but that he's just gone in this way in our present timeline. Yeah. And I'm like, geez, yeah. Like, you know, and I'm even more confused because then it's like his picture is up in the memorial case. It's not a memorial case, but you know what I mean? Like it's in there with the other people that I guess they're presuming did not make it.
Yeah.
And then also Lottie had the ability to empty out his account. Was it like, and also, am I wrong on this? Cause his driver's license or something had a totally different name on it. Right.
Oh gosh. I don't remember. Did we see something at his apartment or something?
I thought that
his house. It wasn't an apartment, but you know what I mean?
Yeah. I thought that when they met at the bar, when she ran into Kevin for the first time, I thought they had something.
Oh, but okay. That's possible.
It was like something was different on it that wouldn't have been immediately identifying to
That's possible because, I mean, Misty could have just been saying this in general, but she did say, like, talk about somebody who didn't want to be found.
That, yes. So that's why I'm like, okay.
Yeah, it could be.
So what, yeah. Like, I know we'll get more about Travis because that's very crucial to Natalie's storyline. So, but I think that's why I have a lot of just weird, like, I don't know where to place the empathy or sympathy for, you know, Travis. But I'm telling you though, that ending, like, I knew it was coming. I still nearly shit my pants when they busted in the door and kidnapped Natalie though.
It got me because I thought she was going to get I didn't remember that we just heard a voicemail. I thought she picked up the phone.
I thought it was a call too.
I was expecting the phone to ring, not the door to bust open.
Yeah. Like,
so funny how our brains did that. Yeah.
Isn't it though? Because as I was watching, I was like, okay, like, I know she's not going to pull the trigger, but I thought the catalyst to her pulling the trigger was that she was going to, like, something was going to pop up from Susie and then the door got busted in. Right. I didn't even realize that the door got busted in and then we saw Susie leaving her, you know, that message or whatever, but.
Whoa. And I totally
thought this Lottie Matthews.
I think you using the name Charlotte has been incepted into my brain because I really remember it as, who the fuck is Charlotte Matthews?
Me too.
And us having to be like, oh my God, she means Lottie.
So I had the total Mandela effect on this on this totally. Episode because I like even you know, I'm in agreement with you about when we were talking about Shauna and Jeff. I remember I thought. Not that, that scene doesn't have a lot of weight in it, but I just thought it was a lot longer than it was.
Yeah, so weird. Anyway,
but man, yeah, like this ending though, it, you know, with Natalie, of course, it's really got me. And we'll get to Thaisa, I know, but like this whole culmination of these, especially these two, and what happens to them at the end of it, really has changed my thoughts of. Who's really been in contact with who and what role are they playing over this 25 years into present day? Because I feel like, you know, sure, Lottie might have had her people like tracking Natalie or something, but this is where I say.
And Travis, presumably, like, I mean.
Well, see, and this is where I wonder. This is when I got the weird feeling after this. Because I really sat there thinking, how do they fucking know where Natalie is of all people? And the only thing that could connect me to it or the first thing that I thought of and I couldn't get out of my mind was Misty.
Interesting.
And so I was like, so is Misty still in contact in some way, shape, or form with Lottie? And she fed Lottie some information. Like, what if she killed Jessica because she's still working with Lottie, not because she just doesn't want this info to get out? I don't know. Like, or that she had her captive at Caligula Inn, you know.
Caligula Inn. Oh, you know? That would have been a good opening line, like booking my stay at Caligula Inn or something. I know. Okay, so that's super interesting. And I am now like kind of recontextualizing almost that the last scene in 96 when Van and Misty are like flanking Lottie as she makes this altar offering. So I can't blame you for wondering what Misty's affiliation might be at this point, right? But it's so – there is a part of me that's like Misty – I was going to say, like, I feel like Misty loves Nat and these girls so much, but like Misty mostly loves, I think, herself and being needed and being rewarded, I suppose, with love and affection and worship for doing something. And wouldn't it make sense that somebody that is, I mean, probably leading a cult. Because the way that these people are dressed feels very culty to me. Mm-hmm. And so wouldn't the leader of a cult know how to offer that to that type of person?
Yeah. And what if they've been in contact and Misty – I mean, like, that's the deciding factor for Misty. It all started when they all started getting the postcards and everything like that, right? So, I mean, like, I know Misty got the – well, we know the postcards are – no – Jeff didn't do the postcards. That's right. Right?
Oh, God. Now I'm getting it so mixed up. No, I think he did do the postcards because Shauna didn't get a postcard.
Shauna get, yeah, okay. So never mind. That was a theory that was not going anywhere real quick. But anyway, I Misty is a conundrum.
Yeah.
And that's fair. Fine because I like it that way. But after the end of this, I really started thinking I think Misty is more caught up in some of these things than we probably realize, because even when they were all doing the, when Lottie was doing the prayer and they were all saying thank you, I mean, Missy is the one that that's outed Jackie.
I know. I thought that was so funny and weird and like, okay, this is all adding up. I really like this. And I love your take. I mean, we might as well just chat about Jessica now since we're talking about Misty so much, but I love your take that that is ultimately the reason she's taking Jessica out.
Right.
Although, well, no, I bet Lottie already has her own type of fixer. She doesn't really need an extra person. Yeah. I mean, Jessica must have just been high on freedom to think that her cigarettes were safe. But ma'am, I feel like Misty played that so perfectly. I mean, to throw them out was to – I think that, like, put Jessica's attention in such a different space to not even think twice about smoking one of those cigarettes.
She is a fool. Do you think if I was getting the hell out of Caligula Inn, I would not mind that I had to stop and buy another pack of cigs?
No. Right? I wouldn't be waiting around being like, Misty, give me my smoke. Like, oh, well, you know, like that $20 is down the drain. I'll just go buy a new one.
Yeah. $20 could have saved your life, boo. Okay.
Yeah, I know. But I'll tell you, who is it that does those stupid ads? Well, they're not stupid. They're actually probably very good. But just like the smoking kills ads. Oh, they want this. They want this footage for their ad because this is immediate.
On a loop. You see what happens? All right. Listen, I'll tell you, like, I even remembered back to when I watched those for the first time, but I still laughed because I thought to myself before it started clicking that Missy drugged her cigarettes, I was like, man, how long has she been in there? Because it's like, if you're a regular smoker, I used to be a regular smoker, so I can tell you this. If you go for a while without smoking, like, you will get, like, a little bit of a buzz, like, off of your, like,
first. And that's probably what she thought was happening. She was like, damn, yeah.
And I was like, how long have you been without a smoke, girl? Why are you looking cross-eyed? Then I was like, oh, no. This is not just a regular old cigarette high.
Not your run-of-the-mill head rush, nope.
Oh my.
Yeah.
I feel bad. I do feel bad for Jessica because I keep thinking to myself, how could you really think that you were getting out of there? I mean, it's just very hard for me to wrap my head around it.
I think in that moment, she really thought that she outsmarted her because, to be honest, I don't even know that Jessica is a fixer or was a fixer. I don't know how much of that she put on to make Misty, I don't know, because obviously it wasn't like putting Misty at ease. Misty had her own plans. Like, she wasn't going to let Jessica go anywhere. But yeah, I feel like Jessica really thought she played the long game, won, and was totally out of there and totally fine. But I mean, that's such a – I do feel bad for her, but it is a great way for her character to go. I mean – it was really good writing. The one thing I wish they'd showed a little restraint around is the little flash that we get to Misty putting the poison in the cigarette. Like, guys, we get it.
We
watched her put it into the chocolates and we can see that she's fully dying. Like, it smoking doesn't work like that. You don't just have one and then die. So, So that was a little frustrating, but, you know.
I just love that her last lines on the show were fucking bitch.
Yeah.
I don't know who Jessica really is and what her purpose is. I know what we've been told on the show when we talk about Ty. I don't think that this premise that she's just trying to find out things for Ty is the actual truth either. You know, I think it was like Inception where it's like a lie within a lie within a lie. So I don't know.
Yeah, Quite possibly.
Yeah.
But, well, before we talk about Ty, shall we talk very quickly about how you can find us on social media?
Yeah, definitely. You can find us on Instagram at DamnFineTV. Yeah.
And I guess, I mean, depending on where you're watching or listening to this, you could also find us on YouTube. All of our videos are there. We've got all the Yellow Jacket stuff. We've got some DamnFineTV goes to the movies. We've got coverage of, by the time this comes out, we have coverage of all the Scream films up until 5 Cream. Scream X is still coming, I believe. But yeah, you could check out our YouTube. And we're also on Patreon at patreon.com/DamnFineTV. All of that content that I just talked about gets uploaded super early to Patreon. Our patrons get pretty early access to all of our stuff. Plus they get bonus content, Discord server, some quarterly swag in the mail. Fun stuff.
Fun stuff. And then also go ahead and rate and review us on your favorite podcast platform. Don't leave us out in the cold. Okay.
Don't leave us out in the cold, guys. Send us some fire emojis.
Yeah. Yeah. Give us
warm us up.
5 fires will warm us up.
Oh, you could send us as many fires as you want, I think. Yeah. You could just like fill a review with fire emojis. I would kind of be into that. I've always said this, that I want people to leave a review that is just emojis so that I can tell a story with the emojis. If you do that, I promise to read it on the show and Mel's and I will try to figure it out. Okay?
I love this. Decoding.
It's okay? So just do it and we'll read it and we'll try to figure it out. You can make it dirty. Go for it. Like, do whatever you want. Yeah.
Do whatever you want.
If you're going to leave us those 5 stars, I'm not complaining.
Me either.
Did you know that you can leave 5 stars every single time you log into your favorite podcast platform? You don't have to just do it once.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. You can rate every single time.
The more you know.
The more you know. Rainbow.
I love it.
Well, the more you know, I am dying to know more about Ty. And I think we've alluded to this throughout the whole season. But, like, this is really the episode that I'm like, what is going on with you?
She is, I'm going to meet at a happy medium here because I've heard people, like, you know, when we've talked to people about the show or whatever, you know, I've heard the, she didn't do the altar. Somebody else did it. Okay. Then I've heard the, you know, she's full in. I'm going to go in the middle here and I'm going to say, maybe she's not actively part of what Charlotte is still doing in the present day. But I think that she believes in the rituals. And I believe that she believes in what could come out of that based on what happened during their time in the woods. And I think that she still practices it. Because I just cannot fathom or wrap my head around somebody coming into that house and doing the altar and the ritual for her to win the Senate seat. I just feel like Ty did it. I know there are holes in this for me too, because the blood is fresh. Everything looks pretty fresh, like it was recently done and not when Biscuit actually went missing.
Right.
I know.
There is that part of it, right?
Yes. But even if it was done by somebody else, I still feel like Ty knows. And I still feel like Ty at some point tapped into, got on board with Van in believing in this stuff.
Yeah. Okay. So, and that's the disconnect right now. But you can see that the threads are being threaded or something up until, you know, maybe this last episode, Ty has been so like adamantly against all of this stuff. It's been a topic of conversation even between her and Van. And you can see that when Van goes to have this conversation with her up in the attic, she's very worried that this is going to be a make or break for their relationship, which maybe it should be for Van, because like if you love somebody and they can't get on board with your shit, like I don't know.
Right.
I mean, maybe you should have some more self-respect. But anyway.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I will say Ty is actually being very supportive and very loving. And she's like, you know, doing the exact thing that you would want a partner to do in like, well, I mean, I'm not there yet, but that doesn't mean that like you can't do that. And I love you and I'll be there for you. So that's what I mean by the threads are being threaded, in that like she's leaning or she's starting to move towards being more accepting of this stuff. So I guess you can start to see that she goes from this like non-believer to being a full-on believer that would sacrifice her own dog's head at an altar to win a fucking election. And hard, yeah. And I do, I mean, they also have set up the whole thing of Ty having kind of an alter ego or a side of her that she doesn't remember in waking life. So did she do it and she doesn't remember? I mean, that's also a possibility. It's just like, we already talked about being on LPT. Like, when did she have time to do this? Because you're right. Yeah. The blood is super fresh.
I mean, honestly, I think the ritual would have had to have been done that day. Listen to me. I mean, I know all about cult rituals.
Well, okay. but I think logically.
Yeah. Right. Like, I feel like you make that, like, you need to make your sacrifice and have your altar and do your ritual, like, fairly close to whatever it is that you're doing that for. So, yeah.
I mean, it definitely depends on what you're doing, but sure. Like, I mean, you would want to do it closer to, yeah, the big event or whatever. I mean, if you're working within a certain set of energies, yeah, that makes the most sense. But beyond that, it is just the freshness of the blood that gets me.
Yeah. I mean, everything is pretty fresh in there, to be honest. I mean, like the blood, but even like the drawing, the symbol there is not like crusty. I mean, it all looks really new, you know. I mean, Biscuit's head did look a little dirty. So I was like, does she have him hiding out somewhere and nobody heard him like barking or anything? I don't know. But anyway, I think that's just me trying to reassure myself that it wasn't a real dog's head, because you know.
Oh, it definitely wasn't. Like, it didn't look very good.
But I was just like, okay, I know what's coming and I don't fucking like it. So
yeah, fair enough. I'm still just so on the fence about her. I mean, I've mentioned it already this season, the smile that she has after winning the election. It could be a genuine smile, like that she's actually really fucking pleased with how this went, but there's a deviousness to it that I can't shake. And the way that she reframes Simone leaving her, even though she told Simone to leave, I don't know. Here's a question. Why hasn't she noticed that Jessica is missing?
Well,
why has there not been one scene of her being like looking for texts from Jessica or trying to call her or something?
Well, here's another thing, because I'm thinking to myself, if she's tapped in some way, how does Jessica play into this? Because what we've been shown is that she hired Jessica to make sure that none of these things like taint her campaign.
Yeah.
So what use is Jessica then? I don't know. They throw those things in there to just trip up when you think you're on like a solid theory. Mm-hmm. And then I had to sit there and go, I don't know what Jessica plays into this. I don't think that Jessica is maybe any of the things that we've been presented with, you know, but what is she, or I shouldn't say what it, but you know, like what is her role? Yeah. I don't know, you know?
Well, and if both Ty and Missy are still somehow connected with Lottie, then maybe Ty didn't have to wonder about where Jessica was because her and Missy have been talking. That's a possibility.
Yeah. And I don't, and I think I have beat this into the ground when we did the live, and I really kept saying this, but it's just all very coincidental, the type of law that she studies and the fact that she needs to be on this Senate seat for there to be some connection, or there's something that Lottie needs in return. You know, I don't know. Like, for mm-hmm. her to have done a ritual to ensure that she's going to win it. What's the reason behind that? Because it's just very hard for me to believe that somebody just really wants to be in politics that fucking bad.
So. Fair enough. And I also, this doesn't absolve Ty of anything, but that also does work within the theory of somebody went to her house and did that because she's not getting her hands dirty with that side of things. She's taking care of, you know, running for this seat in the Senate and all the political shit. Somebody else can do the weird rituals. Like, I could totally see Ty somehow getting on board for that if she doesn't have to do any of the weird mystic, and I say weird, quote unquote, right, mystical, magical shit. Like, mm-hmm. that might be like a bargain that she, you know, that's the line for her, whatever.
Right. But yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. No, you're right. And the live that you just mentioned, just for anybody that might be wondering, we did do an Instagram live pretty soon after the finale aired, with the two of us and then Coral from Wholesome Peaks and Abby Darling from Abby Darling Custom. So if you want our real, like, fresh takes from yeah. the first watch through, it's still on our Instagram. You just have to scroll through to find it. But yeah.
Yes. That was a lot of fun.
We talked for a long time. We had we have so many feelings that night. So
yes.
It's a fun one. I think we all dressed up a little bit. Of course, you looked the most fantastic. Oh, but
please.
Oh, you really did. I mean, people should go look it up just for that. But all right. Are we ready to go to 96 then?
Yeah. Let's just go.
Okay. So sort of just starting with, like, I guess where the episode starts, where they're all waking up, and there was something just immediately that fucking irritated me about these girls. Like, I don't know. It was the way they woke up with the berries still around their mouth. And I was like, you guys look like toddlers that have just woken up from a really hard nap. And I just, like, I can't with any of you right now. I'm so mad at you.
Yeah, there's that. There's also, I mean, I know it's TV and I feel like I say these things and people probably are like, why are these your pain points? But also, nobody wakes up at the exact same time. I mean, you're all passing out and then all of a sudden everybody's coming to you all at once. That doesn't happen either. So, yeah, like, no,
definitely not. Unless there's some loud noise that's waking you up or, sure. you know, yeah.
Yeah,
I don't know.
But no.
And then, I mean, so everybody, you know, back at the cabin, everybody, I guess they're coming to, or they're finding out that there was mushrooms in the broth, right? And here comes Mari talking about Misty poisoned everybody. Misty did this. And I just thought, you stupid bitch. You took those mushrooms, you put them in the broth. How did Misty do this? You didn't bother asking a question of like, oh, what are these? What, like, can I use these? Or are they poisonous maybe? Maybe she doesn't know what the drug mushrooms is, but certainly she must know that there are poisonous things out there and like maybe don't add it to a broth until you know. Mari can fuck all the way off. And I don't even like Misty that much. Like, as a person, she's a bad person. But, like, she didn't do this.
So what I'm hearing from you is that if Mari is pit girl, it's okay. That's what I'm
100,000%. I hope she is. Genuinely. Yeah.
Me too.
So annoying.
I told you, Mari gets on my nerves. She got on my nerves. I talked about it last episode. Like, she's the one that's like, you know, you're having sex and whatever else she did at the, you know, doom's coming. But yeah, like this was just the Mari, take your responsibility and what happened. You picked up something that you had no clue what it is. I mean, like, here's the thing, at least recognize that part of it as well. If you want to be upset with Misty because she had it in y'all's presence and didn't give you a, you know, heads up on what it was, that's fine too. But at least own your part of it as well. Yes. You were just like, oh, dump this right in, you know?
Correct. Yeah. There's room for both. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that was frustrating. The whole conversation to me is frustrating because I feel like Jackie is talking sense, nobody's listening, and then all of a sudden here comes this bear, and I really don't know what to make of this time, because on the first watch, I think I mentioned this on the last episode, but I was so mesmerized by Lottie's character. There was just something about her that really drew me in. And this time around, I'm like not here for it. And this whole bear thing, I was just like, okay, whatever. Weird flex, but I guess like.
Don't like flex, please.
Oh, right, I'm so sorry.
Wow. I mean, Travis just died. How dare you?
Travis, I'm so sorry.
No. Yeah, I not really care much about the bear thing either. I can see, though, where these things start happening and you know, using Van as an example, she's like, oh, my God, Lottie's predicting all this stuff. She said we weren't going to go hungry.
And yeah.
Here's a bear, and it allowed her to kill it. I mean, it, you know. I don't think it had rabies, it would have attacked, but nonetheless, like, they toe that line with what is supernatural and what's not, and, you know, it's a frustrating, but not in a bad way, but it's, like, a frustrating and an exciting thing at the same time, if that even makes sense. Like, yeah.
But do we make sense of this, though? How do we, like, is this a definitive moment that the show is saying something else is happening? Because how else do we rationalize this? What is the logical explanation?
Yeah. For me right now, fresh off of my second, third watch, but you know, my second time around watching it for today, I want to say that this was meant to show that there's something else going on. I guess Lottie's the one plugged into it. And this bear has come up to sacrifice itself or offer itself. And Lottie is just happens to be the one that is brave enough to go up there and stab it, if that makes sense. Like,
yep. And I just, so what was it? Was it their willingness to cut Travis? Was it that Travis and Jackie had sex and offered up their virginity? What was sacrificed for this bear to come? I can't quite make sense of that.
I mean, the only thing that I can really think of would be the sex part.
Unless it's Javi and we just don't know that part yet.
That the bear is Javi?
Javi is the bear is Adam. It's very clear.
God, it's right there. Simple mathematics.
Well, that's interesting because I do have like a wacko theory. But first, I just want to clarify that what I meant was Javi died somehow.
Oh,
and
yes.
The bear was a sacrifice was an offering in return.
And that has me really, though, because here's the thing. Something had to jumpstart for them to want to start doing their rituals. Because obviously at the end of the episode, we see them offering up the bear heart.
Mm-hmm.
So did the woods take Javi? Because he's missing. Or is it something more that we haven't seen yet, you know, that happened on Doom's Coming Night?
Sure.
You know,
or
I know
did something happen between, like when Jackie... like when they find Jackie and when that final scene is, you know, offering the heart, like, is that another bear's heart? Like has so much time passed? Like,
that's
we don't
true.
Know.
That's true.
My super wacko theory though, which I don't think will be true, but it's the only thing I could come up with that would help to sort of give a more rational or logical look at the bear. But they and it doesn't exactly work because they're not really tripping anymore. But when they were high, they saw Travis as an animal. And so I thought, is this somehow like a collective hallucination? And it's a huge, like, maybe this is, well, maybe it's Javi. They just killed
Javi.
They're
going to wake up tomorrow and realize they ate Javi.
Right. And that's where the cannibalism starts. But, it's obviously bear meat that they're eating. So, or at least it's like an animal that has provided quite a bit of meat. So right. I don't think it's Javi.
No, anyway. Javi being missing and this happening, yeah, that would be, I hadn't even really thought about that, to be honest, because I was sitting here thinking it had to have been the sex act, but it might be Javi somehow got sacrificed in some way.
Right.
I don't know. That's I can't wait to find out, though, because I'm really most wanting to know, too, what happened to Javi. I mean, I don't. Yeah, I definitely don't see them putting him through the pit trials to eat him. So,
yeah, I don't know that he's long for the world if he isn't already gone. And I'll tell you, I'm also very worried about Coach Ben, because these girls just keep sidelining him. And I need to say right here and now, like, justice for Ben, because if they had just listened to him on, like, every single occasion that he's ever spoken up, a lot would be different right now. A lot would be different. Like, Laura Lee would not be dead if they had just listened. Jackie would not be dead if they had listened.
Yeah, I mean, Ben is really getting shaded big time. Like, stay out of it. Like, as in, you shut up over there. I mean, it's...
I also think Van, like, didn't he try to step in against them going out on their little search party mission? So Van wouldn't have been attacked by wolves? Like, come on, guys.
I mean, you gotta... Listen, he might have some information that you need, okay? Like, let's get off
his back. I think from now on, it's... WWCBD, like, what would Coach Ben do?
Absolutely. It absolutely is.
I think it has to be.
Yeah.
Yeah, but all right. So all the Jackie stuff.
All right, listen, I'm just going to go ahead and tell you right now. I cry like a baby. I already said that.
It was really sad.
I felt so, 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 so bad for Jackie. Not just because she died, but the death dream, or when she was transitioning, or whatever that was meant to represent, was so sad, because all she wanted was, like, were the friends, right? And, like, they were telling her, was it a tad conceited that she would have this conversation with Shauna? And Shauna's like, I love you. You're the best person in the world. I mean, at some points of it, I was like, okay, now this is typical Jackie here, right? Where she's like, oh, everybody loves me. I'm the best. But it was heartbreaking, though, because I was like, oh, gosh. And they just shut her right out. And the whole thing, I know it's been coming with Jackie, but it felt very super weird. And I don't know if it was because of what happened the night before, but just the way they were all against her after the thanking the bear or whatever, you know? I mean, like, I felt so bad for her, because, like, not one single Missy Eltzer for not saying thank you. They all jumped down her throat. Shauna gives her the fucking business. Nobody seems to care that Shauna's pregnant by Jeff, right? And they're like, just get out. And I was like, oh, gosh.
It is so weird how much they are against her. Right. And I hate it. And going back to the dream, vision, near death, whatever this is, it's super sad. You're right. It's like a little like, okay, this is for sure Jackie's vision. But I think it really just, at the end of the day, says that all Jackie really wanted was to be loved and accepted, which I think is a universal want.
Yeah.
Like, it just made her very human.
Yeah.
And I do wonder, like, because we exit that space by going to Shauna, who wakes up. And the way that she wakes up, it feels like she's been having that dream. But it's definitely like... But I don't know. Is it Shauna's dream about what would be happening in Jackie's mind? Like, I don't really get it. Who is seeing this stuff? Like, it seems to be very clear that it's Jackie's sort of final moments in the world. Like, just like, yeah, as her brain is basically dying or something. Did her and Shauna somehow share these visions? I mean, did like the forest demons make them see the same thing? Because I want to know, like, who's conjuring up that vision of the guy in the cabin, in the pantry? Who's creating that?
Yeah. Well, yeah, like, oh, gosh. You know, I don't even know. There's no way, obviously, to know anything about the guy in the pantry.
Not yet, no.
I, the weird thing is that I wouldn't expect this person that seemingly no one knows, right? This is a spirit of the cabin. Let's just call him that for right now. Why Shauna or Jackie would be like envisioning him. You know what I mean by that? Like it would feel more believable to me if we somehow got a Lottie vision and she saw this guy in the pantry, and I'd be like, oh, yeah. Okay, well, she right. seems to be more tapped in because she got possessed and whatever. It just seems weird that it would be.
Yeah, which is why I feel like did the forest, did the cabin, did whatever is also with them make them see this. And just saying that, sorry, I slowed down because I remembered that Van said as she was very close to death, she saw that there was something else out there with them.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess that could, so then it could make sense that this was what Jackie was seeing. And so then she was privy to this other presence, like as she was kind of crossing over or something. But for some reason, I feel like Shauna saw this too. Like, I feel like that's what she was waking up from.
Yeah. Or she had a premonition or something. Definitely.
Maybe. I don't know.
And then, of course, him saying, like, we've been waiting for you. This, I talked about this right. last time, too. It's just weird because I would imagine her seeing Laura Lee for some type of presence. But everybody else there, just who is this guy? You know what I mean? And like, why would he say we've been waiting for you? Because they're not all dead.
No. Yeah, so who's we?
Who's we? It can't yeah. be. And it doesn't feel like it should be. If he's an evil presence, like Laura Lee doesn't feel like she'd be hanging around with an evil presence. I don't know. But it
might not be Laura Lee. It might just be spirit shape-shifting to be Laura Lee.
A shape-shifting ghost.
Yep. We don't know. Maybe that's actually Leonard pretending to be Laura Lee.
You know what? Leonard kissed my ass.
No. Leonard was caught up with the devil. We know this. He burned. He
Leonard
burned up.
Did something in a past life that correct. Really got him in the end. Okay. All right.
He fooled around at Mary Magdalene summer camp. I just know it.
He's been to the Caligula Inn. He's had all of these, like he's had all these weird instances that we've seen throughout the series. And maybe he just went on his own. He was like, okay, this is my chance. I got to go. You know, what if he's stuck with Laura Lee in all these lives that he's lived? Oh, he's just like, I can't so do this. But man, yeah. I the acting in that moment when they all come out of the cabin,
when they find her, acting, yeah.
So fucking good.
Yeah.
Like,
I think her name is Sophie Nalisse,
mm-hmm.
But it might have more of a French flair because I think she's from, Quebec actually, but her and Jasmine Savoy Brown in that moment are so incredible.
Yeah.
And I really do feel like I just feel like Shauna feels so bad.
Oh, she did. Yeah.
Like, I do not doubt it for a second that she regrets everything that led up to this. Like, she's devastated. It's so clear.
Mm-hmm. For sure.
Yeah. It's really sad. And none of this had to happen. And part of me is like really frustrated and kind of not here for it, the way that these girls treat her. Like, here goes Mari again. Like, maybe you'd be better off outside. Mari, shut the fuck up. Like, yeah. I'm so sick of you. I don't know why you're the only, like, they're just writing you to be the most annoying person. And it sucks for you, but I hate you.
Yeah.
Please get off my TV screen.
But they have achieved what they were setting out to do.
Well, for sure. Yeah. But just, yeah, the turn. And so, like, like I said, part of me is really not here for it. Part of me is like, I don't know if this is a super nice thing to say, but have they drunk the Kool-Aid? Like, are they just like so possessed, quote unquote, by whatever is going on, and they see Jackie not sort of getting in line, and it's more of a, you know, they weren't with her on the shroom, or she wasn't with them on the shroom trip, so she's not really a part of the crew, and there it's just like the tides are turning and they're not really maybe so in control of this right. response. I don't know. I guess that is one reading, but I was annoyed.
Yeah. It just felt like it happened so quickly for me. But, yeah. You know, whatever transpired within that group for Doom's Coming, even though they're not on shrooms anymore, it is still, like, felt very them against Jackie, which I don't know. It just felt like it turned so quickly. And I know that you and I have had this conversation. It is still just so very hard for me to wrap my head around that it could be slightly chilly outside, maybe, and then snow 3 feet overnight. Like, my experience with snow is this, after now living in a place that gets snow, like, as a season, mm-hmm. is it gets cold. Then maybe one day some flurries happen and you're like, oh, okay, the snow will be here soon.
Mm-hmm.
And then one day you might get a big dump of snow, but it just felt like it was pretty. I mean, they only had some flannels on when they were out there cleaning the bear. Yeah. Like, if it was that cold, you know, whatever. I know they're up in the Canadian Rockies. I know that they're, but they can't be that far up the mountain because they're near water. So, like, I still want to say it was something weird with the nature in the forest that also dumped a bunch of snow out there.
Oh, yeah. I fully think, like, even though I agree with Jackie thinking it's insane to be I'm going to say thank you to this thing that brought me a bear. Like, first of all, how did any of this happen? And also, she's angry. I don't blame her for not wanting to be part of saying grace. Like, fuck yeah. that. They've been starving for weeks. Big deal. Like, I don't know. That didn't bother me. But that's absolutely what got her killed.
Yeah.
Because the forest demons didn't like it. And they created this storm to kill her. Because, yes, we can, like, that area of the country can absolutely get snow in September. But to have it be such a downpour, or not a downpour, but like such a dumping of snow, basically, like, it feels like a lot for a first snow. It feels like a lot for a first snow and then to, like, stick around.
Yeah. Yeah.
Temperatures definitely drop. Like, I think Jackie would have been cold no matter what, but something else definitely happened. Like,
and it's an odd thing too. I don't know. Like, also with Travis out there looking for Javi,
mm-hmm.
like, when did he and Natalie come back to the cabin?
Thank you. This is what I wrote down I need a timeline for, because how the fuck are they back there and they didn't see Jackie's body outside?
Right. And how are they not, like, also frozen? Because they would have been, see, it's just, it's playing with something and I don't know what it's playing with. I don't want to say it's playing with time because I feel like it is. We are watching it in, you know, as it plays out. But I'm just like, something odd that they would come back and not think to question somebody about Jackie asleep outside or potentially dead at this point. But why would they also give up looking for Javi? Like, these are the things that made me feel like the snow was not, it was very unreal for it to happen like this. Because between Travis and Nat in the same basic location as this cabin, not like they were out there looking for Javi and they weren't worried about snow and they weren't worried about potentially freezing to death, or I don't know. I don't know.
And, like, I guess they could have come back. Let's say it was snowing, so they're rushing back to the cabin to find warmth, to find shelter. They don't notice that Jackie's out there. I guess I could be okay with that, but it just doesn't seem right. I don't know.
Yeah, it feels like they would notice something. I mean, even if it was the dead of the night, you know. I don't know. It just feels odd that, you know, that those two, all the people, would walk by somebody outside in these conditions and not be like, hey, get up and get in the house or whatever, you know?
Because even, like, no matter how much Jackie and Nat have been at odds and don't really like each other, I don't see Nat walking by somebody that needs help. I just don't see that.
Me either.
Unless they are really fucking around. Yeah. Like, I think they would have to have – I mean, I don't even think she's mad that Jackie and Travis slept together. I really don't think she's mad about that.
I don't either. Yeah.
So something just doesn't sit right about all of that. I don't know. I guess this is what season two is for. Oh, to answer some of our questions, maybe.
I mean, they leave you on a real cliffhanger there, though. I mean, like, because, what if, I don't know. No, I'm not even going to say that. I'm not even going to say that. I don't know, and I'm okay with that.
Yeah, no, I have no idea really what we're in store for. We still have to get together to do the trailer breakdown. So Mel's hasn't even seen the trailer for season two at the time of this recording. I've seen the trailer, but I legitimately don't remember anything from it. I don't really think it gives that much away. But I do want to say one thing that I thought was super funny while while Jackie and Shauna are going at it, and like Jackie's revealing, well, they're both really revealing all. Where is it? There's a, so they're like, you know, battling it out or whatever. And then there's a cut to Lottie, who looks like she is just like feeding off of this drama. Like there's something about that that is like working for her in a way. But then there's that line from Shauna who says, I don't even like soccer. And it cuts to Coach Ben as if like that's going to ruin his day. I thought that was so shady.
I bet. I loved that too, because I'm thinking to myself, if anything could ruin Coach Ben at this moment, it would be somebody saying that, because they are stuck where they're at because of soccer. God, because I would have been like, what the fuck, Shauna? Really, like,
rough stuff. Oh, but it was just like, it was such a perfect cut, because who else would you cut to in that moment? Like, it was just like, oh man, that's a real dig at Coach Ben.
Unless you want to cut to Mari and her go, oh, you don't like soccer?
Oh my God, you never liked soccer? Shut up, Mari.
Also, please, people, again, where are all these extra people? They're not at the dinner table. Because let me tell you what I did.
There was one extra girl at the dinner table.
Just one. And let me tell you what I did. After our conversation last week with Abby, I went back and I sought out those scenes from the season where you can see, like, who all is supposed to be. The biggest conundrum for me is when they're holding the funeral for Rachel and Coach Ben's leg. There are like 20 people there.
And that's not even the pilot. That's episode two, right?
That's two. And there are, you can make out that it's that many people again when they make it to the lake. Why? Where are these people? If they're not inside the cabin, it just bothers me.
It's so frustrating. And even when you see the team photo in the glass case thing, there are other girls for sure, but there's not that many, and they don't look like the extras that we saw.
Thank you.
So are these people, maybe that photo shoot was done at the same time as the pilot, and so it's different people. But it's, again, it's irritating. Like, that shit flies in like a half hour comedy. It doesn't work for me if you're doing a show that has all of these like little puzzle pieces and mysteries, and like, just, you need to tighten it up a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah.
But maybe they don't exist. I don't know.
I don't know, because I sat there questioning the whole thing. Like, how could that many people be on the plane? Like, and also, like, I know that one thing with the picture, I'm like, well, if the B team's with them, maybe the, the A team and the B team have different photos. I don't know. Fine. Like, even during the slideshow, they only showed that same, like, condensed, what I call condensed team. It just, I can't understand why some of these pivotal moments, we are shown all these extra people, like I just mentioned, like at the funeral scene, the lake scene, like Doom's coming. Well, because
it means that later on they've covered their bases for certain people to die without it having to affect the main cast, which is fine, but it kind of sucks. Like, I don't know.
Sure. Just, and you know what?
Have two, three other girls. Fine. They show up at random times. But what is the difference? Like, why are we doing, oh my God, there's like 20 people in this one scene and then there's like 15. And like, why are we doing the different numbers thing? Try to keep it consistent. And also, I feel like, okay, Akilah was not pictured in the glass case photo, but I think she had just moved up from junior whatever thing, because like Mari, being Mari, makes that joke about how she can't like sit in a certain spot on the airplane when they first get on. Once again, fuck you, Mari. But like, I feel like those two are the perfect example of like the lesser characters that will actually still pack a little bit of a punch when they go and they don't have to affect the main cast.
Yeah. And you know what? If they want to do that, that's fine. Like, whatever. Like, I get it. Like, you know, you're going to have to save some things for another season and we need to see how things play out. I'm fine with that. Okay. But padding it to this extreme is just weird to me. Like what you just said was exactly what I was thinking. Mm-hmm. How about we don't, like, when you pan out, maybe it's like three extra people and they just kind of randomly pop up here and there and you're like, okay, well, they have must be in the background somewhere. Yeah. That's fine. But just to have that many, I'm just like, it's weird, but yeah.
Yep.
Unless shit's happened in between that we don't know about, we'll get flashbacks of it. Like somebody died of poison ivy or something. I don't know. But it just feels like it would be talked about.
I would just love, though, at the beginning of season two, if they just did something that like got rid of so many of these extras just all at once. And they're like, let's just clean up this problem that we've created. Like they all slipped down the mountain and died. Okay. Goodbye. We don't have to ever deal with these weird extras again.
Or someone just makes mention, like, have y'all seen so-and-so? Like, I haven't seen them in, like, 6 months. Like, yeah.
Yeah.
But anyway, you know, it is just a weird thing, and I don't understand it or know where it could possibly be going. So,
no, it's silly. It is what it is, but I hope they figure it out in season two and maybe don't fuck around so much. But I guess we won't know until we get to season two, but that's coming so soon now.
Oh my gosh.
We are almost there.
Yes.
As we record this, we're like, what, a month away or something? So,
yes.
Very exciting. And I did mention that we were going to talk about the season two trailer. If you're interested in seeing us break that down, sort of talk about it, whatever, that'll be on our Patreon, available for all patrons. So,
yes. So exciting. All right. Well, if that's all for this time, I have a romp to shake at the reunion.
And I've got some burnt popcorn to enjoy.
Bye-bye.